How many of you would agree that we live in a very fast-paced society? Yes, very fast-paced culture. And it just seems like that there's always somewhere to go and something to do. And I mean, buddy, you feel like you're on the go all the time. And it seems that when you finally do get some downtime, usually that's eaten up with some sort of media device. Anybody in here have an iPhone? iPad? Anybody in here have an Facebook? Anybody have a radio? Young kids are like, what's that? What's a radio? But it seems like if you get any downtime, it's like spent on, you know, watching TV or the radio's going, or the you're surfing the web, or you're on the iPhone, or you're on Facebook, or you're watching a movie. And so what does all that mean? I mean, that's kind of the way it is in our society today, but what does that mean? Well, what it means is that we have little time for just thinking. Little time for just thinking. Just taking time to meditate and ponder on life. To think about the true meaning of life. To think about the direction of our life. To think about the priorities of our life. To think about, is my life being lived the way I really want it to live? We don't take time to just think about God. To think about heaven. To think about eternity and what that's going to be like. To think about the Bible. To think about the true state of our heart. Things that really do matter. We don't spend time just thinking. It's not like the days when America was rural and there really wasn't much to do, you know. Once you finished supper, you went out and you sat on the porch, you know, and you just thought. Those days, we live in a fast-paced society. We're always going and we're always doing, and we always got the latest media device that has our attention, and all these things are competing for our attention, and it leaves little time for just thinking, meditating upon things that we really ought to be thinking about. Do y'all agree that life goes pretty quick, doesn't it, huh? And you need some time just to think about your life and what, you know, and is this really the kind of life that God wants me to live? Paul gives some very invaluable doctrine and instruction to his son in the faith, Timothy. He gives him some really good advice. Look at verse 15, 1 Timothy 4, verse 15. All right, look at it with me. Look into God's word, and I want you to see what he tells Timothy. He's been giving him instruction. He's been giving him doctrine. He's been giving him all this great information. Now look at verse 15. He says, meditate upon these things. Can you say that with me? Meditate upon these things. He says to Timothy, hey, Timothy, I want you to meditate, man. I want you to ponder what I've told you. I want you to reflect on it. I want you to really contemplate it, and I want you to revolve it in the mind. That's what it means to meditate, to revolve in the mind. You know, I was reading an interesting article, and there was a book that was written called How to Read a Book. And the How to Read a Book said, observe, that there is one time when people read and meditate and really digest what they're reading more than any other time, and that's when they're in love reading a love letter. They read every word three ways. They read between the lines. They read in the margins. They read the whole in terms of the parts and each part in terms of the whole. They think about the context, the insinuation, the implication. They perceive the color of the words, the order of the phrases, the weight of the sentences. And when Denise wrote me love letters, I even looked at the punctuation. Amen. I mean, buddy, you read carefully and you read in depth. And that's what he tells Timothy when he says, meditate on these things, man. Listen, I'm writing you this stuff, and I don't want it to go in one ear and out the other. I want you to think about it. Meditate on it. Let it revolve in your mind, man. The idea of meditating is found throughout the Bible. For example, Psalm 19, a verse you might know, the psalmist wrote, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord." In Psalm 119, he said, "Thy testimonies are my meditation." Paul wanted Timothy to take the spiritual truth that he had been given and not just read it. Now, reading's important. Look at verse 13, right above that. Verse 13, he says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." Absolutely. Reading is absolutely essential and important. You got to read before you can meditate. But what I want you to see is that it's not just about reading it. He says, I want you to meditate on it. I want you to ponder it. Revolve it in your mind frequently, Timothy. I want you to consider deeply the nature and the importance of what I've written. I want it to be deeply fastened in your heart, Timothy. How many of you have ever heard the expression, "I need to think through this"? You ever hear that? I got to think through this thing. You know, well, what do we mean? We mean I need some time to reflect on this. I need some time to ponder this. I gotta think it through. Well, that's what meditate means. To read without reflecting is like eating without digesting. It's like this. It's say, for example, Sunday morning you come, you hear the message, and yeah, that's great, you know, and then you leave, and then of course, you know, we're back on all the media devices and we're back doing this and that, and I understand. But it kind of, you know, we hear it, we move on with life. Versus somebody who hears the message Sunday morning, then they take the handout home, and each day they look through the handout and they just think about what they heard Sunday. And they just think about it, they ponder it. Maybe they look up the verses that are in the handout or verses that they wrote down during the message that we talked about that weren't in the handout. You're an active listener, you're writing, you're thinking about it. During the week, you're looking through the handout and you're reviewing what we learned on Sunday. Maybe you even download the message again from the website and listen to it again. You'd be surprised how much more you get the second time. What are you doing? I'm just using that as an example. That you're thinking through it. You're thinking through it. You're actually digesting it. It's like taking in food but never digesting it. No, versus taking the food in, spiritual food, and then you're digesting it. You're meditating on it. You're thinking it through. See? This is crucial. And this morning, I want us to think through the importance of thinking it through. Sounds like who's on first, right? I want us to think through the importance of thinking through it as it relates to God's truth. Because as I said, there are many things competing for our time and attention. Many things. And my hope is that through the message today, you are going to become convinced of the importance and the benefit of biblical meditation, and that you are going to begin setting aside time for what we're going to talk about. And we're going to get real practical at the end, and I'm going to give you some practical suggestions on how you can implement what you're hearing this morning. But for right now, let's go to our handout, and I want to answer this question. What is biblical meditation? Number one, here we go. What is biblical meditation? Here it is. Simply put, it is taking time to ponder and reflect on God's truth. Taking time to ponder and to reflect on God's truth. And I want you to look in your handout at Joshua chapter 1 and look at verse number 8 in your handout. Joshua 1 verse 8. He says, "This book of the law," told Joshua, "shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt," and what's the next word? "Meditate." And then he says, I want you to think about it, ponder it, reflect on it. How often? Day and night. In other words, all the time. I want it to be on your mind and heart all the time. By the way, can you meditate on the Bible while you're driving in your car? Right. I couldn't think of the word for that earlier. I said, that's multitasking. Amen? Right. You multitask. You know, can you ponder the Bible while you're doing the dishes, mowing the grass? Yes. You see, now it's going to be hard to do it while you're watching a movie. You see what I'm saying? There's a difference there. But there's a lot of things in life that you can ponder and think and reflect on the Bible while you're doing it. Many things like that. You know, things that are kind of mindless where it's not requiring your mind to do it. I mean, when I mow the grass, it doesn't require a lot of thinking, you know? So therefore, when I'm mowing the grass, I can think on whatever I want to think on. And that's what I'm trying to say. I'm hoping that you'll choose to take moments of your day to reflect and meditate on the Bible. Now, it was interesting. How many of you ever heard the expression, chewing the cud? Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard anybody, you tell them something, and maybe you propose something to somebody, and then they say, well, I'll have to chew on that. You ever heard that expression? I'll have to chew on that. We say that in Missouri. I'll have to chew on that. And you know where that comes from. The expression, I need to chew on that, comes from the cow, because the cow chews the cud. You say, well, what is the cud? A cow has four compartments to their stomach. And by the way, chewing the cud is an expression that has come to be equivalent to, I got to meditate on that, I got to think on that, I got to ponder on that. And the reason why is they've got four compartments to their stomach, and when they eat, all they do is moisten the food, and the food goes out into one of the compartments of their stomach. And then what happens is it mixes with acids and different things, and then what happens is the stomach muscles take the food and put it back up in the cow's mouth. And then it's little small balls of food called the cud. Have you ever noticed cows are always going? And the reason why is because they chew the cud up to 8 hours a day. 8 hours a day. They say that a cow can have 40,000 jaw movements a day. I told one guy that, and he said, that's more than my mother-in-law. 40,000 jaw movements a day. I said that this morning, Brian LaFrieda, he's back there now. Yeah, I see you backslid to the back row, didn't you, Brian? Brian's down here. He helped us with our sound system, so he's down here this weekend. I said, Brian, you said that was more than your mother-in-law. He went, not even close, not even. I said, that's easier for you to say. She's in New Jersey, amen? He's like, yeah. But anyway, 40,000, what does he do? He's chewing the cud. Meditate. That's what the idea of meditate is. You're taking it and you're fully digesting it. You're revolving it around over and over in your mind until it becomes deeply fastened in your heart. I want you to look at the screen and notice Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. And by the way, I don't know of anything that fits that description besides the Bible, amen. But he says, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, what's the last part of that? Think on these things. I've used that verse 3 weeks in a row. I'm like, man, God's trying to tell us something here. Our actions will follow after our thoughts. Our actions will follow after our thoughts. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And if we want to live godly, if you want to act like God, then you have to think like God. If we want to live godly and act like God would act, then we have to begin to think like God would think. We have to fill our thoughts with His thoughts. Now, the only way I know to do that is to spend time meditating on the Bible. Because this is how God thinks. This tells me how God thinks. Now, certainly every thought of God isn't in the Bible, but would y'all agree? I mean, there's no way we could ever fully know God's mind. I understand that. I realize that. But would y'all agree with me that this is all that we need to know about God? Amen? He's given us all we need to know. And so that tells me how God thinks and how God wants me to think. So that means that if I'm going to act like God, I got to think like God. And if I'm going to think like God, then I've got to get into His Word. That's what we call it, right? We call that God's what? Word. Because that's His Word. That's His thoughts in writing. God put his thoughts in writing. So do you spend time meditating on God's word? Maybe you read it. That's great. Maybe you even study it. That's better. But meditation is even a deeper level of learning than those. But and one of the things I learned a long time ago, and this will help some of you immensely right here, is that I learned that when it comes to my relationship to the Bible, it's not about volume, it's about impact. And what I mean by that is it possible for you to read four chapters of the Bible and not get anything out of it? Is that possible? Yeah. You're blowing through it. You're reading to say, man, I'm on my Bible reading chart. I got through it today and I read my four chapters. Well, what did you learn? Well, I don't know, but I read it. And what I learned is that when it comes to the Bible, that it's not about volume necessarily, it's about impact. How is it changing my life? See, that's the question. I would rather, and I've told people this, I've said, look, I would rather you read two verses in the morning and then reread them 10 times that day to where you meditate on them, you think about them all day long, and they become fastened on your heart, than to read 10 chapters and not get anything out of it. It's about getting in the Bible. Look, it's not just about getting in the Bible, it's about the Bible getting in you. Y'all with me? Amen? It's about the Bible getting in you. That's what meditation does. The Bible gets in you. You're meditating, you're pondering it, you're letting it get deeply fastened in your heart. That's what it's all about. I heard a story about a guy, and there was this tiny stream that was trickling down this hillside, and there were drips from the river that would come off. It would finally fade down, and a drip would come on the rock. This humongous rock and boulder was down low, and so the drip would come off, and it would go a long ways, and then boom, it would hit that rock. And one of the things that he noticed is that the rock, this boulder, bore a very deep, deep impression where the water kept hitting. The drip, drip, drip of water over years of time had completely hollowed away that stone. And the guy looked at that, and here's the comment he made. If mere water can do that to a hard rock, how much more can God's word carve away into the heart of my flesh? And then it hit him. He said, if all the water had flowed over the rock all at once, it would have left the rock unchanged. It was the slow but steady impact of each droplet. Just drop, 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 drop. Year after year, day after day, that completely altered and changed that stone. And that's how God changes your heart. It is the steady dripping of God's word onto your heart, day by day, year by year. You're letting God's word drip into your heart day by day. It's not, oh, I'm on fire for God, and man, I'm going to read 100 chapters this month. Then you don't even get in it again for the next 11 months. Then you get on fire again. And man, I'm going to get into that Bible, and I'm going to read 10 chapters a day, and that lasts a week. And then you're not in it again for 16 weeks. And then you're on fire, and you're going to get in it again, and I'm going to read through the whole New Testament in a week, you know. And then you're not in it again for, you know, 20 weeks. No, it's that slow, steady dripping of the word of God in your heart day after day, getting into God's word, but letting God's word get into you. Now, God's plan versus Satan's plan. Because Satan has a plan of meditation to counterfeit God's plan. Examples of that would be Buddhist meditation, New Age meditations. The most popular is transcendental meditation. Many of you have been exposed to that and don't even know it, but many movie stars endorse transcendental meditation, and it's rooted in Hinduism, and it's a technique that involves the use of a sound or a mantra, and it's practiced 15 to 20 minutes twice per day. According to the TM movement, it's a method for relaxation, stress reduction, and self-development. It's nothing new. Eastern religions have been practicing these principles for years in Hinduism and other religious sects. How does it differ from biblical meditation? In your handout, it says that the focus of TM, transcendental meditation, is subjective and inward, while the focus of biblical meditation is objective and outward. It's about God and His Word. I want you to go to Psalm 63. Now, I told you we were going to go to Psalms, and I want you to go to Psalm 63. All right, everybody turn there now. Let's stay focused here. Psalm 63, and I want to show you a couple verses here. Look at verse 5. Notice now that when we talk about meditation biblically, it's objective and it's outward. It's focused on God and His written Word. I want you to look at Psalm 63 and look at verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips when I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches. Notice his meditation was on the Lord. In your handout, it says TM starts with man. Biblical meditation starts with God. TM starts with man. Biblical meditation starts with God. Look at Psalm 104. Can y'all turn over there for me? Psalm 104. We're working our way through here. Psalm 104. And hey, let's look at verse 34. Psalm 104, 34. It's also in your handout there too. And notice it says, my meditation of Him, of God, shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. So TM, transcendental meditation, starts with man. You look inward. You look to yourself. And within man is the answers to all of his problems. It teaches that within the heart of man is the answer to your problems. And through meditation, the source is uncovered. Biblical meditation does not begin with that premise at all. Biblical meditation does not teach, oh, the answers are all in your heart. Biblical meditation starts with the focus and the understanding of this. Let's bring it up. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above what? All things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Would y'all agree we all have a sin nature in our heart? Amen? Now, the thing is this, that biblical meditation understands that. And so the focus of biblical meditation teaches, no, the answer is not in your heart. The answer to your problems in life, the answers to the questions of life, are found through meditation of God's Word, and it's through meditating on His Word that we overcome our tendency to do evil. I want you to look at Psalm 119, and I think we're going to be there the rest of the time. So make your way to Psalm 119, and we're going to look at several verses here. Psalm 119, and let's look at verse number 9. Look at it with me. Psalm 119, 9. It'll be good for you to see it. Psalm 119, verse 9. Don't trust me. I want you to look into the Bible and look at it. Psalm 119 and verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? You want to know how to live a clean life, young man? By taking heed thereto according to thy what? Word. That's how you live a clean life, is you've got to take heed to that book. Now, I want you to notice with me, biblical meditation focuses on God and on His Word. Look at Psalm 119 and look at verse 15. Verse 15, same chapter. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Notice, let's skip down to verse 23. He says, princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. I want you to notice verse 48. Verse 48. He says, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. He said, I'm going to meditate in... Young man, hey, young man. Young man says, I'm going to meditate in this book. I'm going to get in this book. I'm going to study and meditate and think about this book. And as I think on the book, it's going to affect the way I act. Some of you in here this morning, are very unhappy with the way your life's being lived out. You're very unhappy with the choices you're making. You try to put it aside. You try not to think about it. You try to always make sure when you're in the car there's music going or there's something going. There's always something going on in your ears because you don't want to even take time to think about the direction of your life and what your life's doing. And you know what your life could be for the Lord. But I want you to know something. The way to change is to say, you know what? I'm going to start loving God's Word. I'm going to start meditating and thinking and pondering God's Word daily. And I'm going to let God's Word. Do y'all believe if God's Word gets in us, it can change us? You believe that? Can it change our life? Nobody's beyond changing. Isn't that good to know? I don't care what you're struggling with today, God can change it. I don't care what you're struggling with, God can help you. I don't care if you're struggling with feelings of inferiority, depression, despondency, discouragement. You feel overcome with addictions that you're struggling with. God can change you. But I'm telling you this key. I'm telling you the secret to the whole thing today, and that is not just. Some people go to the Bible kind of like when you got a headache, you go to the cupboard and you look for Advil or whatever, Motrin or Tylenol. And some people, man, they get a spiritual headache and they're going to go to the Bible and look for a pill, so to speak. You know, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that. Remember the dripping on the rock consistently day after day? What I'm saying is day after day, you're meditating upon the Bible. You're thinking about God's Word and how it relates to you. And you're not just going to the Bible trying to get in the Bible to find a quick fix. You're letting the Bible get in you. And it begins to change you. Look at verse number 99. Verse 99. He says there, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. They're my meditation. You see, biblical meditation focuses on God. Look in your handout. Isaiah 26:3. It's in your handout. Look at it with me. He says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You see, when we talk about biblical meditation, God's plan of meditation, it's different than Satan's plan. Satan's plan is, like I said, transcendental meditation, and repeat this mantra and 15 to 20 minutes a day, and look within yourself and all the answers will be inside of you. Biblical meditation is no. The answers are with God. The answers are with His Word. And I've got to think like God, and in order to do that, His Word has to get inside of me. And you got to beware, because TM shows up in many different places, sometimes disguised. I've seen it. And they try to suck people into this transcendental meditation thing instead of biblical meditation. Thinking upon something objective, God and His Word. It's this subjective thing. They don't say, hey, let's do some transcendental meditation. They say, go to your quiet, secret place and seek help from your imaginary advisors. You can go there anytime you want to. Wherever you are, you can go. Beware. God's plan is different than Satan's plan. But let me give you the last thing. What will biblical meditation do for the believer? All right? Look at it with me. Number one, we'll go through these quick. What will biblical meditation do for you? Number one, it'll provide stability in your life. Stability. Stability. What did we sing about earlier? I will delight, na, 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 na. I will meditate day and night. Then like a tree firmly planted, I'll be grounded in your word. What is it going to do? It's going to give you stability. What's the Bible saying? God's truth's going to ground you. As the Bible gets in you, and as you meditate upon it, you get rooted, you get grounded, you get a foundation, you got some stability in your life. Number two, it'll help you to obey God's word. He told Joshua, remember the verse we read? He said, hey, listen, I want you to meditate in the law that I've given you day and night. And you know what he went on to say? He said that thou mightest, that thou mayest observe what's written there. The key to obeying God's word is meditating on God's word. And as you meditate on God's word, it gets inside of you, and you naturally begin to then obey it. Simply reading the Bible is awesome, but usually it's not going to really hide it in your heart. But as you meditate on Scripture, you're etching it on your heart, and it creates life change. Number three, it provides true wisdom and understanding about this life. It provides true wisdom. Remember what we read a minute ago? He said, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? Because I meditate in God's precepts. I meditate in God's word. The devil has so many bright and shiny bells and whistles out there for young people and for old people and for middle-aged people and for grandpas like me today. Amen. He's got so many bright and shiny things, you know, things to try to catch your attention, to try to get you off track. And it's meditating on the Bible that helps you to see through that, to have true wisdom, to have some true understanding about this life. Number four, it will provide you with spiritual strength. When you meditate on the Bible, it provides you spiritual strength. Hey, if you're saved and you know the Lord, that means that your life's going to be perfect with no problems, right? No. Look at verse 23. Go back to Psalm 119, verse 23. Look at this. The psalmist here, he writes in verse 23, princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Look over at verse number 78 again. 78. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. You know what he's saying? I've had some trials in my life. I've had some problems in my life. But you know what? Your word gives me stability. Your word gives me spiritual strength. Your word gives me true wisdom. Your word gives me understanding. Did you know the flesh will fight against biblical meditation? Do you know your flesh doesn't like it? Look at verse 148. All right, flip over there. This is funny. Look at verse 148. He says, mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Do you know what he's saying right there? You know what he's saying? Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate on. Do you know what he's saying? He's saying, I go to meditate on your word, and what's he doing? Falling asleep. Have you ever noticed that you can stay awake for a movie or stay awake for a ball game with no problem, but after 20 minutes of studying and meditating on the Bible, you're nodding off? You're bored stiff, man. I mean, you know, buddy, that ball game's on and whoo. And then 20 minutes in the Bible and we're Rip Van Winkle, you know. The flesh fights against it, and although the flesh will fight you, the results are well worth it. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. He says, hey, what you think about, you say, why am I getting these results in my life? Well, what are you thinking about? Because he says if you're carnally, fleshly minded and you're thinking like the world, the result is death. Man, it's going to kill everything good in your life. He says, but if you're spiritually minded, the result is life and peace. Doesn't mean everything's perfect, but you have life and peace. Now, how do you put this into practice? Well, a few suggestions. Here's a couple of suggestions. Every day, read a portion of Scripture. Now, look, if you've got a Bible reading schedule, if you've got a way you're reading your Bible, I don't want to discourage you from doing that. Keep doing that. Here's what I'm going to tell you. If you're reading your Bible every day, keep doing what you're doing, but I want to add one thing to it. I want to challenge you to add one thing to what you're doing. Read whatever you're reading, but then pick out a verse. Just a verse that speaks to your heart, that challenges you, that convicts you, that helps you. Write that verse down like on a on a little card or something, and then carry it with you all day long. When you're at the stoplight, you're thinking about it. When you're driving in your car, instead of turning the radio on, you're thinking about that verse. When you're sitting in the doctor's office waiting, you got that verse out. You're thinking. When you're in the line at the grocery store, you pull it out, you read it, you're thinking about it. By the way, do you think by the end of the day you'll have that verse memorized? Oh, yeah. What are you doing? You're meditating. You're like that. You're chewing the cud. You're like that cow. You're taking that verse and you're just going to town on it, thinking about it, revolving it in your mind, chewing on it. Think on it. Another suggestion is to read and reread a passage four or five. Listen, you may have a passage. You may have five verses that you read, and you read it 10 times that day. As opposed to saying, I read four chapters, you may say, I'm going to read five verses, but I'm going to read them over and over that day to where I understand them and they're etched on my heart. That's just a suggestion. You may want to take a little smaller portion of Scripture, but read it over and over that day. Another idea is to pray verses back to God. An excellent way to meditate on His Word is to talk to God about that verse. Pick a verse out and talk to God about it. Say, Lord, this is what I need, you know, and talk to the Lord about what He wrote. Another great idea is to discuss a verse with a family or a friend. Have a family, have a friend. Maybe it's a girlfriend, a boyfriend. Maybe it's a fiance. Maybe it's your husband, your wife. Maybe it's a friend at church. But you got a verse each day, and you're just going to talk about it for a few minutes. That's a way to meditate on it. It'll change your life, folks. In your handout, it says, biblical meditation, think through it. It can change your life. It can absolutely change your life. And I want to encourage you to take what you've heard today, think through it, and begin implementing this right away into your life. It's not something that necessarily takes a bunch of time, because a lot of it's downtime anyway for you. Like I said, you're mowing the grass, you're thinking about that verse you chose that day. You're doing the dishes, you're vacuuming, you're thinking about that verse. You're at work, and you've got, maybe you're doing a manual job at work, and you're thinking about that verse. You're in the car, you're thinking about that verse. I'm not talking about you're having to set aside four extra hours a day. I know that's not possible. Maybe it's, you know what, instead of 30 minutes on Facebook a day, I spend 15. And I spend the other 15 meditating on the Bible. You know, instead of 30 minutes surfing the web, I spend 15. And I spend the other 15 meditating on God's Word. That's what I'm talking about. It can change your life. It's the difference between you getting in the Bible and the Bible getting in you. Amen, church.